Oh yeah, wake up, Denver. Bob Belts, Bo Mitchell, and the Beatles. What a way to start the day. I think we're going to come together this morning. Bob's going to explain what these lyrics mean in a minute.
You know, we love starting out off oftentimes with the Beatles anyway, but because of our guests this morning, we had to think of something very British, you know, that we could get things going. But this is going to be a great morning. I'm excited about it. You know, last week we had the great pleasure of having Roma Downey on the show, and Roma told us a little bit about the character that we're going to talk to this morning and also about their project. But it is a real privilege for us to have Mark Burnett with us here this morning. Mark, thank you so much.
Oh, so glad to be here. And I can't reveal what, but that Beatles song, Come Together, does feature in quite a big way in the next season of The Voice.
Okay. Well, you know what? Yeah. We got to stop a second and say you get the blessing exists because we love introducing our listeners to people that we think are impacting the world for Christ and all the good causes of Christ's kingdom. And Bob Belts, who I consider to be the wisest, smartest, best biblical scholar in history, is the co-host here today. And it's miraculous how Bob and Mark Burnett got together. And you listeners, stay here today for this half hour. You're going to get to know Mark a little bit. But Bob, introduce Mark more thoroughly for those who may not know all of the things he's involved in.
Okay, and Mark, I'm going to fire off a bunch here, and you're going to probably have to help me. And again, it's kind of fun to think about the fact that when we get to what we want to talk about this morning about your new adventure, that you know, Mark is the creator and producer of Survivor, Apprentice, Shark Tank, The Voice, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I mean, I could go on and on, but you really you know, and I tell people about you, and of course, you know, being your friend has been the highlight of everything that we've done together, just because I love you. But when I tell people about you, I introduce you as, you know, you're probably the greatest television producer today in Hollywood. So, and here you are doing a project on the Bible, but I've missed a bunch, Mark. What else? I remind me of some of the other shows that you've produced.
I've produced a lot of shows, guys, and hey there to you too, and to everybody listening, and especially in the last couple of years, just even a lot more. So, you know, as of the last year, what would be number one with Celebrity Apprentice, which is everyone's guilty pleasure on Sundays at 10, number one, The Voice, all of Mondays, The Voice is again on Tuesday, still number one, Survivor, which is has been my longest running series, number one on 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, and very happy to say, although Simon Cowell is not happy, it crushed X Factor this last season. And then Friday's Shark Tank, which has a huge kids audience. Huge kids audience. And, you know, it's a show on Fridays that so many people mention Shark Tank. And that's partly because it's so quintessentially American, because it's about creating small businesses. And that's what runs our country.
Well, you know, we've had a number of people that you and I have bumped into and have been involved, guys like Charles Jenkins, that, of course, one of the first things out of their mouth is something like Shark Tank. It's my favorite program, and they're so excited, you know, to meet you. And we've had great, great people involved. So how does a guy that's doing all of this end up doing a show like The Bible?
Well, you know, it's there's no question. It's a calling. It's, you know, if you're a person of faith, and I am, as is my wife, Roma Downey, you know, who, as you know, for a decade starred on Touched by an Angel, you know, we talk about our faith a lot, and you feel a calling that you really should step up. Various things came our way, and make a dramatic network primetime miniseries on the Bible. Not a story of the Bible, but a grand arc sweeping through a number of stories that take you from Genesis through Revelation, the greatest story in the world. For us, it's our faith. For many other people, it's certainly the most important book. If you're not a person of faith, you have to know the Bible. I mean, just in conversation, in life, it kind of sounds crazy if you don't know who David and Goliath are and the story of Saul and, of course, of the Gospels. It's also a book that created our language. So many phrases from our current-day language came out of that 1611 King James Bible. And then popular movies, you know, something you worked on, Bob, The Chronicles of Narnia wouldn't exist without the Bible, nor would Lord of the Rings. And on a more bizarre level, something like Matrix, clearly biblically based.
Right.
So it's something that touches our laws, our society, our art, our books. Shakespeare quoted almost 300 times directly from the Bible. Uncle Tom's Cabin, very important book, 100 direct quotes. So it's a very, very, very important book. It happens to be our faith, and we know we had the ability, the experience, and the way to get the money to actually bring the Bible to the screen.
You know, I remember actually reading the article in USA Today when it first announced that you were, you know, taking on this, again, a 10-hour adventure. It begins tonight on the History Channel, 2 hours every night, excuse me, 2 hours every Sunday night, with the grand finale being on Easter Sunday, which is so appropriate. And that episode is so mind-bogglingly moving that I think people will really, really experience something as they watch that. But, you know, it... I read that and I thought, you know, and I know that you've oftentimes thought, why me? You know, I'm a Hollywood television producer. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a church guy, anything. And yet my first response was, what an unbelievable coup to have, you know, a guy like Mark with who you are and your credentials take on this project. And you guys have done a phenomenal job, I've got to say. And I'm just excited to see how many, you know, millions actually watch the show tonight.
Yeah, I am too. And I think it looks epic. And we do start tonight with creation. And we start creation in an interesting way. We start with an action sequence of Noah's Ark, an enormous boat that Noah had made. But on an ocean, which is the entire planet is flooded. There's no land. It's one massive ocean, a raging ocean. And only Noah and his family and the animals are on that ark. And Noah uses the story of creation as a method of keeping his family calm and with courage and hope and faith that it will all work out during the storm. And that's how we enter into the story of creation. And we've got brilliant, fantastic footage as we segue in and out from the ark and Noah telling his family story into creation. And it makes everyone who looks at it say, wow, the world is incredible, just incredible. And that then segues us into the story of Abraham. And then we go into... ending the evening with Moses into Joshua. And there's a great segue from when Moses receives the Ten Commandments and he comes down the mountain and Joshua is there. And Joshua's feeling great. Wow, we have new laws. Until Moses looks at him and says, yes, Joshua, and it's you, Joshua, who must take the law, the land promised to us by God. It allows the segue into 40 years later, Joshua is standing outside the gates of Jericho with his army. They need to take that city. So this has got an action element to it. It's got elements of, you know, Lord of the Rings, because big armies, but all accurately with faith. And it's a way for people to love and experience the energy and the action and the beauty and humanity of the Bible.
Yeah, you've done a super job. I'm excited. And of course, I have to say, I'm probably biased. I've seen the whole series, but boy, when you get into the life of Christ, it feels like this great series suddenly goes up to a whole nother, you know, notch, and the power of the way you tell the story of Jesus. And of course, you know, here you have to tell the entire story of the Old Testament in 5 hours, but you had the luxury of having, you know, several hours to tell the story of Jesus. And you know, what was that like for you when you began to get into that part of the series?
Well, again, we love the Gospels. We know the Gospels, not as well as you, Bob. I mean, nobody knows it, you know, on a
Amen.
Theological level as well as you. And you've been great to help us and guide us, as you know, many advisors. But the most important thing was to tell the Gospels in a fresh way, accurately, but with a feeling of this youthful group. I mean, Christ was only in his early 30s, and the guys around him in 20s and 30s. A group of, like, ragtag bunch of people from very diverse backgrounds. Some of the 12, the other 12 other ones, couldn't understand why we're there. Why would he bring Matthew, which they thought was the scum of the earth, a tax collector, a Jew working for the Romans against his own people? You know, Judas always was a bit odd, you know, and they sensed that. He was from Kerioth and from a wealthier family, you know. And Thomas, questioning everything all the time, never quite sure he could believe. And, of course, you know, the leader of outside of Jesus was Peter, rough fisherman, tough guys in a economically challenged, a time when the Romans brutally controlled Judea, a time where it was really like the 99% and the 1%, the 1% being the Romans and temple authorities in Jerusalem, collecting taxes, living well, while the poor people had nothing. A little bit like today in some ways, you know? And into this times, first century Jewish-Roman politics is when Jesus is born. And it's very, very visceral, very real, very emotional. We didn't want it to feel like some typical biblical movies, like donkeys and sandals with people looking like they stepped out of the dry cleaners.
In fact, what you guys wanted is what we hope our listeners today will dial into, and that's that the Bible will just come alive for people seeing these stories brought to the screen.
Yes, and it's rough at times. This is not Jesus Christ is a big guy. He's a 6'2", 6'3", you know, Portuguese actor who looks exactly like Christ. A great actor. He's the lion and he's the lamb. He's a big, tough guy, a carpenter. You know, happens to be Christ. But you can also see he's not scared of anybody. He's not scared of he's not scared at all of his encounter in the desert with Satan. Satan tries to tempt him at his lowest low. It's an epic scene where it begins with a giant snake crawling across Christ as he's laying there on his last moments, maybe, in the desert. 40 days and 40 nights is supposedly the limit a human body can take. And then, you know, the snake becomes Satan, and there's a big confrontation, which, of course, Christ is not scared of Satan. You know, Satan tries everything to tempt him, 3 different ways. But, you know, Christ is able to look him in the eye, stare him down, and say, "Get away from me, Satan." Similarly, Jesus Christ is not scared of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is almost like a king. He's the head of everything going on in Judea. The only person he reports to is back in Rome is Caesar. And he's a long way away. But when there's a great scene when Pilate comes in the cells and is eye to eye with Jesus, you can see that even Pontius Pilate is unnerved by looking into Jesus' eyes. Jesus doesn't back down. He's not scared. You know, when you see Caiaphas for the first time, the high priest, face to face with Jesus, he's also unnerved. It's very visceral. It's very real.
It is, yeah.
And you can really feel this is not your grandma's Bible stories.
Yes, yes. And again, you're listening this morning to You Get the Blessing of Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts, and our very special guest, Mark Burnett, who, along with his wife, Roma Downey, have produced an epic 10-hour series telling the story of the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and it airs the first 2 hours tonight, and every Sunday through March, 2 hours, with the final episode appropriately landing on Easter. You know, the other thing I'd have to say about the series, too, is... you know, you guys did amazing special effects. I think that the parting of the Red Sea is so, you know, phenomenal, great effects. And part of what I think no one has ever been able to do the way that you did it is, you know, some of the times that Jesus healed people to actually be able to see, you know, one of my favorite scenes, the leper, and as Jesus, you know, reaches out and touches him and heals him, to see, you know, this person covered with leprosy, you know, see what it would have looked like to see him healed. And you guys have really done a phenomenal job on that.
Yes, very, very realistic. And there's a moment of, you know, where the disciples, remember, the disciples don't really get it along the way. You know, who is this guy Jesus? And they start to realize after a number of miracles, you know, Peter's the first to realize, you're the Son of God, you know. And they're starting to realize along the way, and it's with these miracles, and they see him with their own eyes. Probably, I'm sure Thomas can't really believe it, because he can never really believe anything. You know, like, wow, am I really seeing this? But there's a sense of joy and wonder. These poor guys, mostly, apart from Judas, the rest of them were pretty poor, blue-collar guys who have lived their life being put upon by Rome. Pretty brutal, awful times. And now there's some real hope, because they have a leader. They think at one point that Jesus is the next King David. They think Jesus is going to take a sword and lead them, especially after the time of the Feed the 5,000. He might lead them. There's 5,000 of them. Let's march on Rome. Let's attack the Romans. And Jesus explains, this is not the way, not by force. Jesus never does the expected. They always expect what he's about to do, and he goes left instead of right. And keeping up with him, there's a time in Mark 4 where they ask him, why do you always speak in like strange stories, which we know as the parables? Why don't you just tell it simple? And he says, for large groups, you need to keep it in big stories. And then when I'm alone with you guys in small groups, I'll untie the knots. Well, that's how I look at what Roma and I are doing with this Bible series. The television is the broad, grand narrative of stories, which will go out and reach millions and millions of people. And anybody who wants the knots untied, a deeper understanding, because we're not qualified to teach the Bible, they can go to a church. You know what, in America, alone, 400,000 churches. You couldn't go a block in a city in this country and not fall over a church. There's plenty of places to get the knots untied.
Yeah, and I think that what you've created will stir that imagination, and hopefully that, you know, people will be attracted to that. You know, one of the things that struck me, and of course I was quite curious, you didn't know me and I didn't know you, and you know, my first thought was probably like a lot of other people that have seen the Bible sort of, you know, massacred in some form or another in television or the movies, was, you know, are they going to get it right? And what I've so appreciated is your heart. I mean, this is, you know, this is not just this is a passion project for you. I think this is something that you so deeply believe in and wanted to get right. And there are a couple of, you know, just sort of litmus tests in my mind before I even saw one of your scripts was, for one thing, usually a lot of these films or TV shows, they kind of leave Jesus in the grave. And, you know, hoping that you guys would have done a great, you know, thing with the resurrection. And boy, I mean, the scenes post-resurrection are so, nobody's done that. And, you know, that you've just done such a super job on taking it beyond simply, you know, the crucifixion through the resurrection and, you know, Pentecost and Paul. And you've really, you really have told the whole story here.
Yeah, and these are, as I said, tough characters that a modern audience can look at and say, whoa, that may have been how it really felt being them. Remember this, every character in the Bible, except Jesus, has big flaws, big problems. You know, Jesus is perfect. Everybody else, the disciples, you know, Paul, King David, Saul, Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, they've all got duality of character, problems, and real, like us. You see yourself in a lot of these characters. And there's a great moment when the resurrection, when Mary Magdalene comes back and tells the boys, the disciples, or the 11 that are left, that she's seen him. And of course, the way we do it is Thomas completely doubts already then. He said, no, you must be mistaken. It must be someone else. Said, no, I know. And in our series, Peter and John go back to the tomb, and Peter goes inside and comes out, and he's holding the shroud. You know, the body's not there. And John says, she's right. He's gone, right? And Peter says, no, he's not gone. He's back.
Yeah, that is a great
right?
moment.
It's a great moment. Cause yeah. It's like very, very modern movie. Like, wow, nothing they would want more than him being back. And they've been bummed for 3 days sitting around after he was crucified, not knowing what happened. Life was over. They didn't get it. They saw him do miracles, saw him raise Lazarus. Why didn't he save himself? They're humans. They don't understand. And then he's suddenly back, and they're renewed energy and strength. And that's where it all, that's a critical moment, we all know. You know, that's the one thing that defines being a Christian, believing that Jesus came back and resurrected.
Well said, well said. And I would like our listeners to catch just a glimpse of you personally, Mark. So I want to hear you describe, like Roma described last week. First of all, we hope these are like startling, awakening, inspiring moments for you listeners that watch the series. So thank you, Mark, for all that sharing. But I want you to share now about when you saw Roma and she was getting her nails done and you were getting your hair cut and you glanced at her and she glanced at you. We've heard her take on that. What's your take on it? Because God's the author of that physical attraction, and you guys are obviously great friends, and you obviously, through your married life now, have unconditional love for each other. But it started with that Eros love, the physical. You looked over there and thought, there's a woman that looks pretty cute to me. So tell us in your words, what happened that day?
Well, it's not really a big stretch, is it? I'm looking over, I'm seeing Roma Downey in the mirror. You know, only a few years earlier, she's been in People magazine, Most Beautiful People in the World issue. So it's not exactly a stretch that I'm looking over thinking, whoa, that is a beautiful woman. But, you know, unusually for me, you know, I actually caught her looking back. I thought, oh, that's kind of nice. You know, it gave me a bit of confidence. But I still wasn't really that brave, because when I left, I caught her glancing in the mirror a couple of times at me, and, well, at least I thought I had, you know, not that confident to assume that a woman like that would find me anyway attractive. And I did ask the receptionist, who is that? And I sort of knew it's Roma Downey, but I was like confirming, it's Roma Downey. So I then called back later to the same hair salon and said, I really want to get her number. You know, and the receptionist called up Roma, who she knew very well, and called back and said, okay, I've got the number for you. Oh, that's cool. I hung the phone up. I was going to call Roma. And then I had, guys and women are going to laugh or yell at the radio right now, because what I did next was crazy. I called back to the salon, got the woman on the phone, said, you know, would you call her and ask her, if I call her, will she go out with me? I know it's talk about weak, right? Talk about weak. And the receptionist's like, really? And
I'm your new agent, Mark. I'll do it for you.
Yeah. Anyway, so then Roma's answer to her apparently was, what does he think? I gave you the number to give him so I could deliberately humiliate him and say no. What, is he stupid? Anyway, yeah. And then it began. And obviously,
and it went from there, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm married to an angel. How bad can that be?
I'll tell you. And you guys were, you know, brought together, I think, as the Bible says, for such a time as this. And to be able to combine your hearts and your minds and your abilities and resources and really step out. I mean, because you have. You've taken a huge risk, and yet I know that you feel that it's something that God has called you to, and you've fought a good fight through all of the difficulties, and tonight is just going to have to be a great celebration for you.
Yeah, and also I want to say to you, and just for people listening, I know how it looks like a huge risk. I don't think of it that way. I just don't. I mean, maybe I'm a little nutty, but I just knew we had to do it. It's very easy. Let's say if you weren't a person of faith, you hear a little instinctual voice or whatever the voice you think you want to call it, and it's people of faith, it's God. The easiest thing is to pretend you don't hear it, right, and not take action and just say, oh, I thought I heard that calling. I'm not going to do it. But if you're honest with yourself and you know it really is, you don't have any choice. I mean, how are you going to live with yourself ignoring a calling? And then, so therefore, it removes all risk because you have no choice anyway.
Well, you're one of the gutsiest guys I know, and I can't think of anybody better to hear that call and to do what you've done. And we're really grateful that you took the time to be with us today. And, you know, lots of resources, by the way, at the website, BibleSeries.tv. Churches can, use those things to, capitalize and use the series and in their ministries, and books that you guys have written, and it's just super stuff, and we're so grateful to you and grateful to be your friend, and thank you so much for coming and being a part of our show today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and there's lots of clips on that website you mentioned, BibleSeries.tv, and give people a little taste of what they're going to see tonight.
Great, great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank
God
you
bless
guys.
You.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Bye.